Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the February 14th meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority. And I'm Jan Marks, I'm the president, and I'd like to call this meeting to order and ask for a roll call.
Ms. Barton? Ms. Barton is absent. Mr. Barbeau?
Here.
Mr. Enns?
Here.
Mr. Guthrie? Mr. Guthrie is absent. Mr. Hammond?
Here.
Mr. Newton is absent. Mr. Paulding?
Here.
Mr. Robert?
Here.
And Ms. Marks?
Here.
We do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. Thank you. Before we get going on the rest of the city of the agency's business, I'd like to ask us each to just do a brief introduction, since we have a new member today from the county. And basically just tell us what city you're from, how many years you've served on council, and how many years on Integrated Waste Management Authority. And we'll start over here with Robert. Robert.
Hello, my name is Robert Robert, Mayor Pro Tem of Grover Beach. Been on council for going on 3 years, and I've been on the IWMA for, this is my second year, Vice President of IWMA. Nice to see you all here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Charles?
It's Charles Barbeau. I've been on city council in Atascadero for 7 years. I've been on the IWMA board since 20 or 21. It's been a long time. It seems like a long time. And I was the president prior to Ms. Marks here.
Mr. Enns?
This is a little embarrassing. I've been on the Cayucas Sanitary District Board of Directors since 1992, served continuously, elected president in 94, been the president ever since. Somehow, they can't get me out of Cayucas. I made a speech at the Ocean Protection Council. The vice president of that council was the lieutenant governor of the state. And I made the comment that in Cayucas, it's easier to get on than off. And so made them all laugh, and that was good. But I got on LAFCO a number of years ago, just before COVID, and then got on this board during COVID. I was president here and the chair over there at the same time during COVID. I'm the only president that never conducted a live meeting. So anyway, with that, a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Mayor John Hammond, in my 18th year public service, being elected mayor now. Most of that time here on IWMA, and past chair, past president, and happy to serve. So, thank you.
Good. Mr. Paulding.
Hello, everyone. Jimmy Paulding, County Supervisor. I represent District 4. Happy to be here. This is my first meeting with the IWMA, and happy that the county has rejoined the IWMA. And thank you all for working collaboratively on that process. Really appreciate it. I also had served as an Arroyo Grande City Council member before serving on the Board of Supervisors, and AG was a part of IWMA as it currently is, and I'll hand it over to Mr. Guthrie over there.
Right. Mr. Guthrie, we're just doing brief introductions.
Yeah. So, Jim Guthrie, City of Arroyo Grande, back for a second sentence. No, I was really happy to serve again. I've had 12 years before. I think I did make one IWMA meeting as the alternate, but have been on for about a year now in my second round. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Jan Marks. This is my 16th year on San Luis Obispo City Council, six of which were serving as mayor. And this is actually my eighth year on Integrated Waste Management Authority. I served with John like 1999 to 2002, mm-hmm. something like that. This is my first year as president. And I'm looking forward to it and welcome the county back. It's been symbolic that it's on Valentine's Day, so thank you. And with that, I'd like to ask Mr. Paulding to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Be my pleasure.
Please join with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now I'd like to ask if there's anyone who is here with us in the Board of Supervisors chambers who would like to make public comment on something that is not on our agenda. So I just wanted to say that this this meeting is being recorded, but we don't have the Zoom capacity. So we don't have anyone outside of the room who wants to testify. Thank you. All right, with that, I'd like to hear from Peter Cron, our Executive Director, on his report. Peter.
All right, well, thank you, President Marks, and good afternoon, everybody. Peter Cron, Executive Director for the Integrated Waste Management Authority. Once again, we're going to overly welcome the county back to the IWMA. Super excited to have them rejoin us again. We've officially terminated the MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding that provided services to the county. That was done effective February 1st. So following February 1st, all services that are provided to the county will be provided through solid waste management fees, landfill tipping fees, and that we collect on behalf of the county. The county will maintain their education contracts to the end of the school year, so we're not going to assume any of those contracts for their contractors that they're doing. So this is something we're doing, and we're also looking really forward to working with the county staff on meeting all their compliance needs. We've got a pretty good workload ahead of us, and we're kind of excited about that. We have a new program coordinator today that I'd like to introduce, a new staff member, Ashley Cooter. She comes to us from UCSB. Super excited to have her. She's got a lot of experience that we'd like to exploit, obviously, because that's the kind of people we are. She's got GIS capabilities, and we're going to hopefully to bring some of those forward to our board as we move forward. We have the Solid Waste Summit that we're going to be conducting on May 9th, and that's started out being the Solid Waste Orientation, but we've rebranded it because people have already oriented to the Solid Waste. Now we're going to do a Solid Waste Summit. We're going to reach out to some of our member, our stakeholders and our member jurisdictions to find out what items they want to learn about. And then from there, we're going to take and put on another presentation like we did last year, where we spend about 4 or 5 hours talking specifically about specific items that our member jurisdictions want to learn about. The Cambria CST outreach efforts, the Science Discovery Team has concluded its door-to-door work, restickering, cleaning up, and doing route reviews and evaluations on the Cambria CST. We've done the residential portion of it. The next step is take a look at how we're doing on the commercial side, and we should be able to conclude that well before our April 1st due date. And then the relocation ad hoc committee. We discussed several options on finding a new location for the IWMA offices. Covered more options than I could probably want to discuss today at this meeting, because I think you guys pretty much wore me out with some of your expectations. But I'll get back to you on those. There's some good ones, everything from buying a new building to a long-term lease on another site. But we'll reconvene this with some of our findings, and by the next board meeting, we should have a path forward. And then with that, Mayor Hammond requested a presentation from Science Discovery. I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Mike DiMilo, who is a representative from Science Discovery. Make sure it's on.
Hi, Peter. Good afternoon, IWMA board members, President Marks, and IWMA staff. I'm Mike DiMilo, principal of Science Discovery, and I was asked to give an overview of the services that we provide to IWMA. True confession, I pack a lot of information in our slideshow, so sometimes I go briskly so I can stay within my 10-minute time limit so Mr. Cron doesn't pull me off with a hook. So first, I'd like to do a company profile. Who are we? We're San Luis Obispo-based small business business started in 1996. What do we do? We emphasize school education and public education programs, and we do business outreach and education. And the reason we do that is we assist all of our clients and jurisdictions in meeting the many state mandates for outreach goals in solid waste. We also work in water conservation, stormwater pollution prevention, and other natural resource related topics. So you know we do work for IWMA, but you may not know that we also do work for Santa Barbara County Public Works, City of San Luis Obispo, City of Santa Maria, Atascadero Mutual Water Company, City of Paso Robles, and some others. And the neat thing about that is that we get multiple touches with our learners, whether they're 3 or 103. We see many people multiple times through working through all these different agencies. And that's a really good thing because ultimately all of our goals are tied together. All right, so we're located in San Luis Obispo. We have a 2,500 square foot facility, and we've kind of divided up into four sections. We've got office for our staff, and then in addition to that, we've got a shop. For our education programs, we fabricate or design a lot of our stuff, and then things break over time. So it's really great to have the tools and shop space to do the work that we need to do. Then when COVID hit, we built a studio, and we still do about 5% of our programs virtually, and I think there's some potential to do some other things with the studio, so it's a real asset even though it's used a minimal amount of time. And then last but not least, we have storage. On the left, you're looking at some of the materials that we take to IWMA constituents, mainly businesses. We'll talk more about that later. And on the right is our school education materials that go out to schools throughout the county. So that's our office. Most important thing, though, is the people. We have 10 staff, and me included, typically 3 for commercial recycling, and then 6 for education, and then 1 for office work. And then we're cross-trained so that it really gives us some flexibility throughout the week to cover all the tasks that we may have. All right, so I want to start with one of the 2 scopes of work that we do for IWMA. We call it commercial recycling. So we do that for IWMA to help you be compliant with CalRecycle and the many state mandates. We educate business owners. We do staff training at businesses throughout the county. We provide posters, containers, and to some degree, some support for our haulers throughout the county. And then most importantly, we document and report large volumes of data to IWMA so that they can share that with CalRecycle for compliance. I'll give you an example of that later on in our program. So who do we visit for the commercial recycling program? Just about everybody. Restaurants, grocery stores, wholesale food producers, hotels, retirement homes, landscape companies, apartments, condos, mobile homes. We call most of that multifamily, 5 units or more. So that's a heavy lift. This number is probably low, but we go to thousands of businesses. And so what we do is we onboard them and get them compliant with laws like AB 341 and SB 1383. It's sometimes a long process. We don't have time to go into the details of that, but there's a lot of work involved with that. We create outreach materials so that when we first visit a business, they have in writing why we're doing what we're doing or why we're asking what we're asking. We make it easy for generators when they're starting new service. We give them their dates and kind of do some hand-holding so that the program goes smoothly. We create outreach materials for business owners, managers, and staff so they can clearly look at what goes in what container. We provide design labels to go on some of the recycling containers. This is Nicole on our commercial recycling team. She's sitting next to some 23-gallon, what we call Slim Jims. They do not come with labels on them, so we have to put our own labels on all those containers. The dollies that you see underneath are very important. Food waste weighs 8 to 12 pounds per cubic foot, and we can't expect restaurateurs to be hauling that stuff out when it's so heavy. We have to build the dollies because they don't come assembled. So there's a lot behind the scenes that goes on. Residential route reviews. Laws require that we visit 50 residential garbage routes and take a peek into the trash, recyclables, and organics container, leave some messaging if there's contamination, and so there's a lot of work there. And then Mr. Cron was just mentioning our task up in Cambria. We went to roughly 2,600 addresses. We cleaned off the top of each cart and put some new labeling on there. So lots of things going on with our residential route reviews and outreach to make sure the carts are all up to date and looking good. We also solve contamination issues. This two-yard container has everything in it except recyclables, and it's a recycling container. So now it's tracking down the business owner, maybe putting a lock on the container, maybe putting it in another location, and then overfilled organics. It's wonderful that this restaurant was putting food in there. However, this cart is now so heavy that the sidearm truck is probably not going to be able to lift it and put it in the truck. So it's a re-education, making sure that our business managers and owners are doing the right thing. Challenge in the food restaurant industry, the turnover is high. So once we get someone compliant and they're doing it perfectly, 6 months later, it could be a new manager, new staff, and then we start all over again. And we relabel carts when necessary, so they look pretty like this one. All right, presentations for multifamily, that's five units or more. We'll go to HOAs and do presentations for the HOA board and the tenants, and apartment buildings. This was for the Madonna Road Apartments, a program that I did for the tenants there. Really important to get them on board. And we do food pail distribution under the commercial recycling program. Earlier I said we document everything. There's software called Program Tracker or Tracker. Every email, every letter, every phone conversation, every site visit, every flyer that's sent out is documented in the software. You see the second highest column there is site visits. That's when we actually go out to the site and talk with the business owner, manager, and staff. So that's all there at available for IWMA to see what's going on. For professional development, I make sure that I get to conferences that relate to all the things that we care about here, all throughout California, and of course go to the trade show and see the newest containers and things that maybe would be useful to us here in San Luis Obispo. So, summarizing our commercial recycling outreach, SB 1383 requires increased levels of outreach more than ever before to send to CalRecycle, and what we do to help in that effort is to educate business about state laws, onboard businesses to be compliant, and train staff when necessary. We coordinate with property managers and tenants, and we provide a diverse range of services benefiting businesses, jurisdictions, haulers, and most importantly, IWMA. All right, that's commercial recycling. So how about we switch gears now and go to task number two, or scope number two, that is school and general public education program. Made this slide look a lot different just to give that notation that we're changing subjects now. So let's see what happens with that. Our budget is 275 class programs per year. That program has been full for months now, fills up very quickly. We provide class presentations throughout the county to public and private schools, roughly 35,000 students, 12 school districts, and then for the public education part, we go to community groups and public organizations. We have 330 class presentations on our wait list. That's above and beyond the 275 programs that are already booked. So is there demand for school presentations? Yes, yes, and yes. How do we get the word out to our teachers? We create an electronic newsletter. They can pick from the many programs that we have to offer, and then they will email or sign up on an online registration form. We have a program called Introduction to Recycling. In that program is an activity called Let's Sort It Out, where the students work in groups and they have to get all the stuff in that bottom container into the right color container. Just a word of warning, Mr. Cron asked me if I had enough for the board, and he commented that he might set them out on your desk someday at a board meeting as an activity. My answer was yes, we do have enough of those kits, so just beware. We also talk with students about natural resources. It's so important. So we created these boards, and on the left are the typical items that we use, paper, plastic, glass, etc. Then they have to take the magnetic label tables and move them over to match the natural resource and the item that they use. Real fun activity for the students to do in class. We also do waste audits. That's where we collect school trash. You can see it in the black bags in the background. And then we set out containers that are labeled. And then we ask the students and we help them, of course, collect, sort, weigh, record, evaluate, and then share their data. So here's Julian on our team doing a waste audit. It's a little bit of organized chaos, but it's really great because the kids are collecting data and learning how to be scientific. And then we provide the teacher with a spreadsheet. They can enter the data and actually get some very tangible results from the work that the students did. We also do class programs and assemblies. This is a papermaking program. This is the intro slide for our school assembly to get schools on board with organics recovery. And we're still doing, as I said earlier, some virtual programs in our studio. About 5% of our total programs are virtual, and that's by teacher demand, not because we tell them they need to do that. So moving on to our community group or general public education, we do programs for Kiwanis, Rotary, HOAs, service clubs, religious organizations. I was just at Kiwanis of Atascadero a few days ago. They had 50 plus people show up at 7 a.m. Very impressive, and we had a great program. We do a Can It Be Recycled quiz with all of our public groups, and they have to yell out when they see the item, can it be recycled, yes or no? So we'll do that with you right now. Yes or no?
No.
See, that's so interesting. We got some yeses and some noes. So that's a yes, and we have that conversation when we get mixed comments like that. So I won't test you any further on that. And so, then we do some community events, some repair cafes, Earth Day, community service district fairs.
Mr. DeMilo, we have a hard stop with this meeting at 3 p.m. We don't have use of this building anymore after that time. So I'm going to ask you if you can wrap it up.
I'm going to go really fast. Sorry, okay. We have evaluation forms, so every program we do comes right to IWMA to be able to see what the teacher or person thought of our program. We're down to two slides. Our philosophy on all of our education and outreach is know your audience, make it relatable to their lives, monitor and adjust during a program. If you're told you've got to move it on, you better move it on. So that's what we're going to do. Check for understanding. And then most important, be passionate, but teach, don't preach. Those principles give us successful education programs. And in summarizing our program today, I hope that the brief outline it gave you of all the things we do for IWMA gives you a more concrete idea of the services that we provide. We love visitors, comments, and suggestions. You're welcome to visit us anytime. Call, come by. And as Ms. Jordan knows, we also have cookies sometimes. So with that, thank you for your time.
Thank you. That was a marvelous presentation. Before we go on, do we have any questions from the board for Peter Cron on concerning his executive director's report?
I've got just two more slides myself, too.
Oh, sorry. You've got some more to say,
just,
sir?
Yeah, a couple more things. I wanted to get Mike in. First, I want to thank Mike for his presentation.
Thank you, Michael.
I've been working with Mike since 1996, so it's been interesting to watch and see how far it's come. One of the things about this that you may have seen this in the news recently about the illegal dumping that took place up on Monterey Road north of Paso Robles. One of the things that concerns our agency is that these type of things happen on a regular basis. We're working with County Public Works on trying to establish some level of coordinated response so we can help them out. On this situation, this was benzene, and the volume was probably far more than we could have ever managed. But there's so much material that's dumped illegally in the unincorporated county area that probably didn't originate in the unincorporated county area. Benzene is a known carcinogen. It's typically used in the production of plastics or laminates. And so, stuff like this is stuff that's super concerning to us and County Public Works. And we're in some discussion now on how we could come up with a better coordinated response on some of these. The March meeting, we're going to have a budget ad hoc committee. We want to review our goals and where we're sitting on our earnings. And we can anticipate seeing another decrease in our solid waste management fee at the outcome of this budget ad hoc meeting, taking us down at another piece. We should have something for you in March that'll show you how our earnings were at the close of the end of the second quarter of this year. And it should in and of itself be pretty self-explanatory. And they also want to work on a new five-year strategic plan. We're just about into year number four, and we've deviated quite a bit from where we originally thought we were going to go. And I'd like to revisit that. So with that, that concludes my executive director report, if you have any questions.
Yeah, do we have any questions? I just wondered if you could briefly give a little more context to the relocation subcommittee, which used to be called the building subcommittee.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a little more context so that we all understand.
So we sat and we discussed in depth some of the options that we had in front of us. And one of the options is working with 3C on a site that's just fundamentally across the alley from us. It'd be a short walk for relocating. But some of the other pieces, I mean, we looked at a little bit of long-term leases, and I think considering we own the building we're in, I'm not sure that's a really good choice for us. And we even took it as far as looking into the concept of actually moving out, redeveloping the property, and moving back into the property. So there's a number of different things we're looking at. But once we sit down and meet again, and we'll discuss what all of those look like and a timeline around those, we'll bring something back to the board for the board to evaluate and give us direction on.
Yeah, and the ultimate goal is to try to have all staff in one building.
Yeah, correct.
Right.
Right now we're leasing
and
two.
We're going to probably be having to add staff because of the county's involvement. That's correct. Well, that'll come up later.
Correct.
Good. All right. No other questions? Then I'd like to open up public comment on the consent agenda. Sasha, do we have any public comment on this? Anyone coming forward. All right. Are there any items that anyone would want to pull or any comments on the consent agenda?
Make a motion when you're ready. No.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to approve items on consent 5 through 7.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Oh. I'm sorry. Yep, 8. I'm sorry. Yep.
I'll second it.
8.
Okay, just to clarify, that's items 1 through 8, correct?
5 through 8, yeah.
5 through 8. Oh, so I did it. Okay. Great. And it's been seconded by Mr. Bourbeau. By Mr. Robert. All right.
And Chair Marks, if I may?
Yes.
I'll be just abstaining from 5 through 7 as I was not on the board at the time. Thank you.
Well, but, oh, got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you will vote on 8.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay, good. All right. I'd like, well, let's just let's have a roll call. And just noting that Mr. Paulding is going to abstain from items 5, 6, and 7.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding is going to abstain 5, 6, and 7?
Correct, and yes on 8. Thank you.
Perfect. And Ms. Marks?
Yes. Thank you. All right.
Chair, sir. I would like to back up a second. I did have a question for Mr. Cron regarding his report. You made mention, or the chair made mention, of, you know, our occupancy of this building and or, you know, these chambers and is being mm-hmm. taped. Where are we on ultimately, you know, having it available Zoom-wise? Because we do have that one, you know, individual from Paso Robles who really likes to listen to the IWMA. Where are we now that we've, you know, found our hopefully permanent home? Where are we in that
situation? So we're in discussions right now with our current provider here, ADP Video. And we're going to try and see if we can bring that up and make that a live, regular occurrence for us. I should be able to give you a real clear update at the next meeting. We may potentially, or at the next EC meeting, we should be able to bring that up again and discuss it and see exactly where we are on that. But I don't think that's going to be a problem. We should be able to bring it forward and make them live meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, question with
yes,
Charles.
Sir.
So this is being recorded, and he can see the meeting online.
Correct, yeah.
Right.
This is being recorded.
Yep, thank
and
you.
And live streamed.
Good. Seeing no further questions, I'm going to move to the next item, which is to ask if there's public comment on the regular agenda.
There's no public comment.
All right. Seeing none, we will go ahead to number 9, the amendment to the vintage property lease agreement on page 21 of our report.
Correct. So this is a recommendation that your board approve and authorize the board president to sign and execute the vintage properties lease extension amendment three for an additional 6-month term. This should give us time to be able to close out where we're going to make our new home and make that move effective. Currently, we operate out of two buildings. One is the 870 Osos, which is the property we own. The other one is the 890 Osos, which is the T's house. And it's just, it's the garage of the T's house. And so extending this for 6 months gives us an opportunity to find us and secure a property where we'll actually make our final move.
All right, thank you. I have one question. Is Vintage Properties amenable to that extension?
Correct. They provided us a lease.
Okay. And any other questions? Seeing none, I'd like to see if there's any deliberation or a motion.
No, go ahead, John.
Mr. Hammond?
I'll second.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Ms. Marks?
Yes. Thank you. All right. So the next item is the IWMA Employment Handbook on page 30.
Okay, and for this, I'm going to turn this over to Deputy Director Jordan Lane to introduce this item and speak to this item.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, good afternoon, President Marks and the board. Item 10 is the IWMA Employee Handbook. In 2018, the IWMA board directed staff to ensure that IWMA staff compensation and classifications were consistent with the San Luis Obispo County Human Resources. In January of 2019, the board adopted policy F10. This is the IWMA's policy for staff compensation and classification that did just that. In May of that year, the IWMA then contracted with SLO County Human Resources to conduct the recruitments and classifications. And later that year, the IWMA contracted with CPS HR Consulting, and they were hired at the direction of the board. They reported their findings regarding IWMA Human Resources policies, practices, and processes. The determination there was that the IWMA did not have enough internal policy governing employment matters. So in June 2020, the board adopted the employee handbook, and the handbook contained numerous references to San Luis Obispo County Code, and it helped fill the gaps identified in the CPS HR consulting report. In April 2022, the board voted to rescind the policy F10, which is the one that established the relationship with the SLO County Code, and the then executive director recommended that future amendments be made to the handbook to delete specific references to county codes. So that brings us to today. Taking that recommendation into consideration, along with current council's input, that we are indeed an independent agency, independent from the county, and therefore staff is not subject to the same employment agreements as county staff, we present you today with a new version of the IWMA Employee Handbook, void of references to the county code, yet compliant with state of California laws and best practices. The California Chamber of Commerce facilitates a program called HR California, which has developed a handbook creator tool. The tool allowed the executive director, Peter Cron, and I to customize settings like how many full-time staff we have and whether or not the organization issues equipment like cell phones and computers. And then the tool completes policies that have already been established by the state of California. Policies are recommended to us either as mandatory, suggested, or optional, and they're updated regularly as California adopts new laws and the chamber discovers new best practices. The changes to our existing policies include a reduction of sick leave maximum accrual rate, the addition of a telecommuting policy, and the addition of a job sharing policy. Next, we have listed the required updates according to the state of California. SB 616 requires employers to provide a certain amount of sick leave by a certain day of employment. SB 848 provides leave of absence for a reproductive loss event. And SB 553 requires employers to implement a workplace violence prevention plan and to train the employees. So that plan can be found in the final pages of the proposed handbook. The handbook has been reviewed by legal counsel. And the next steps, if it is approved by the board, would be to use the tool provided by HR California to create a Spanish translated version, and then to have that verified by a third party, just to ensure that it is indeed accurate. And we'd bring forward annual updates to the board based on what we're hearing from HR California. So the recommendation today is that your board adopt an updated IWMA employee handbook as presented, with the right to implement legally mandated changes as necessary, but subject to board approval for additional policy changes.
Thank you. I wonder if the board has any questions at this point, either for Jordan Lane or for our legal counsel. Mr. Guthrie, did you?
Well, I'm looking at, so first off, was my understanding right that this was an existing handbook and this was made any changes to it, or did we make...
Mike, please.
So my question is this a whole new handbook, or is it just an updated handbook? Because I had the impression it was a whole new handbook.
It is indeed a whole new handbook.
Okay, so the changes we saw were just kind of highlighting a few of the key changes.
Those were the substantive changes, yes. Okay. So the rest was removing any reference to SLO County code, where it wouldn't expand at all on the policy. So we would take that information, and now it's written out. So it's the IWMA's own policy.
Okay. So I'm looking at page, I guess it's page 9 of the policy, page 40 of the agenda. And at the very top, it says service credit, hiring, and then service credit. And there's a sense in here that I'm a little troubled by. It says, generally, the break in service time will be deducted from the employee's original service date. I'm just not used to seeing the word generally in an employee handbook. So how is it determined?
I'm going to defer to our legal counsel.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it right now. Generally, it's just case by case. And so...
So we really don't have a policy.
Well, no, yeah, we have to have the policy in place, but I think it's generally determined based on the other protected status. So if it's pregnancy leave, it would be one type of protection. So I think we'd have to defer to the other policies in order to know what the break is, whether or not the break is covered or not.
All right. It just feels like then it says, unless otherwise stated in the policy, this is the policy, that rather than generally.
Okay. Just so I look real quick, what page are you on?
Page 9 of the policy.
Okay.
Right under hiring. So it's this line. And if in fact there's other pieces of the handbook that would affect this, then we should unless otherwise,
okay.
rather than generally, just generally just says, well, you know, if the director feels like it, he could just do whatever he wants to do.
Okay, so your concern is that it's discretionary and you don't want it to be
discretionary.
So just in terms of the way that the Chamber of Commerce does their employee handbook. You know, it is a form. It's not custom per se to the IWMA. And so this, a lot of the language in here, and we did make some substantive changes in language to address less general terms, but we did not go through and look at every single word.
Okay.
So, you know, in terms of whether or not that can be further clarified, I mean, certainly it can be. There will be other sections referenced in the handbook that will override this. I can tell you that much. But I couldn't right now tell you exactly which ones and reconcile it to this generally.
Could we then just say unless otherwise outlined in the handbook instead of this is the...
So yeah, I mean, that should be the case. There should be an overriding policy statement in here anyway, that unless otherwise specified, but certainly generally should be qualified by that. And if it's otherwise specified, then that would apply just based on general legal terms.
And then the other question I had is on the same page, about halfway down, says part-time employees, and has this bullet point,
mm-hmm.
determined in approval of job description by the IWMA Board of Directors. Is that just saying as we create part-time positions that you'll bring back the job description to us? It's not like every employee we're going to review their every part-time employee.
So as new jobs are created within the IWMA staff, they are presented to the board for approval, the job description. So it would designate a job as being a part-time eligible job at that time.
So it's not really just for part-time employees. Every job description probably is coming back to the board if it's changed.
If it's changed,
at
yes,
some
correct.
Point, every job description was approved by the board.
Okay. Yes,
I just
correct.
Kind of read this as being kind of carved out for part-time employees. All right. Those are my two comments.
All right. Thank you for those comments. And any others?
Yes.
Charles Barbeau?
Yeah, a follow-up. You kind of answered the question already. This is for legal counsel. There's a lot of words, 60 pages or whatever it is. A lot of it seems boilerplate. The Chamber of Commerce develops this as a service basically for private employers. I assume it's not focused on public agencies. And so my question is, you indicated you haven't reviewed every word of it. Are at some point, though, are we going to go through it? Or are we confident that there are not things in there that would not be pertinent or should not be in for a public agency?
Well, I should have clarified. I didn't read every word in terms of I didn't edit it. Mm-hmm. But we did review it for compliance with public agency requirements.
Okay.
So like the Chamber of Commerce, you'll see that, a couple of the policies like the workplace violence is a custom policy that was inserted into this for the
okay.
IWMA. Same with the remote working policy. Those aren't Chamber of Commerce policies. Those were developed by the IWMA and inserted into this version.
Okay. So you made sure there's
yes.
nothing that's, written for the private sector that should not be in a public agency document. Conversely, do we make sure that there are anything related to being public employers that was missing and we needed to include separately?
Yes. The answer is yes, we did do that.
Okay. Got it. And I should have known the answer to this, but we have a table in here regarding on page 59 of the agenda packet, page 28 of the employee handbook. Since our 457B matching contribution is employer match up to the IRS maximum, so that's like $20-some thousand, right?
The IRS maximum for 2024 is $23,000.
So that would be essentially, in addition to the 19.53% retirement contribution, that would be up to $20,000, $22,000. So let's say, for somebody with the hypothetical $100,000 thing, that would be another 23% match.
Correct.
I think we already had previously, this has already been previously approved, I think.
Correct. The only change to that benefits table is we removed a vacation sick leave payout option so that you can no longer cash out sick leave and then reduced the maximum accrual of sick leave. Those are the only changes to that
table. And that is relative to the sick leave reduction that you commented on in your
yes.
presentation. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, Madam Chair, John. I was just going to mention again, it looks normal, as far as a work handbook, with employees. I just want to make sure that we're up to speed with 2024 rules and regulations and councils, good with what we have. Obviously, whenever we, whenever we change that, then the handbook would have to be amended or up to dated, whatever. That's done at the time, benefits are changed, I'm assuming.
So. Yeah, so the reason that the resolution or the motion is drafted in this way is this is what was updated for 2024 laws or laws effective as of 2024 or during the 2024 year. Now, there could be a change in the middle of the year that is a legal mandate. Obviously, the IWMA will follow the legal mandate, whether or not it's in the policy book, and then bring it to the board as soon as they can. But all policies will need to be approved by the board. We can't just have an automatically updating handbook. It still has to come back to the board.
Yeah.
And that may be, hopefully not quarterly. Most of the laws that change in the middle of the year will be effective as of the next calendar year, and they don't usually come into effect in the middle of the year. But they possibly could. Mm-hmm. So the intent here is to provide maximum flexibility. The IWMA staff has to follow the law, number one. And then number two, if that in fact results in a change in the handbook, it'll come back to the board.
So it sounds like we probably ought to calendar, every year, some sort of point in time where we review, these kind of documents and just get them up to speed and put it on the agenda, that type of thing. So, good. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you.
Jen, one question?
Yes.
What's the financial impact? I think we're throwing out the old one, as Mr. Guthrie says, and we got this new thing, and I sort of did a quick check here on the same page that Charles was excited about, page 59, and I estimated that out of the 53 weeks per year, not including Thanksgiving and whatever other days we get, that you're really only working about 36 of the 53 weeks. And it seems like you'd have to go hire some more employees to fill in the rest of the year. So thought maybe you'd tell us what it's going to cost to do this.
Yeah, so the fiscal impact that we figured in this staff report was based on purchasing the HR California membership and the handbook creator tool. We didn't calculate the fiscal impact of the benefits because they are unchanging. So they haven't changed from what was previously adopted. We can come back with that analysis.
Okay. Also, on page 45, it's under Federal Family and Medical Leave Act. It's an unpaid leave. However, the conditions were that you're employed at a work site where there are 50 or more employees, and I don't think we have that. So some of these things appear not to be able to apply to our agency. Is that correct?
That is correct. There will be some statements in here that say this applies to an employer with 50 or more employees, but we chose not to take that out, just in terms of not, one of the benefits in using a software system is that you don't have somebody hand editing every single provision. And so some of these can be listed in the alternative, which is basically if you don't have more than 50 employees, it won't apply. If you don't have more than five, it won't apply.
That's just state regulation and code, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah,
we're putting
that's
in
legally.
Yeah, system. Thank you.
We don't pick that.
Well, it's a very impressive handbook, and it covers about every imaginable. and I think sometimes a lot of these are based on people trying to cheat the system, and then you got to make a rule how to not prevent that. So I see that some of it would not be necessary in a more honest society. So thank you.
Most of it's based on lawsuits. It's based on.
So, yeah, I had just a minor clarification. When we refer to the Chamber of Commerce, it's the California State Chamber of Commerce that you're talking about, right?
Correct.
Not our local. And so that explains why we're members of the California State Chamber of Commerce. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, I'd like to entertain a motion.
Could I just ask for one clarification addressing Mr. Guthrie's comment on the generally? Uh-huh. Is the desire to have that changed?
I think it makes sense if they, otherwise legally required, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, do you think, I would recommend a just sort of an omnibus statement to that effect, not just in this one section, mm-hmm. but maybe just where a specific provision is provided for that will prevail over a general statement. Maybe
right.
Then that way, if there's other areas where that generally kind of okay. comes up, that'll be addressed also. And so we could just add that maybe at the beginning of the policy.
So that sounds reasonable to me. Any objections to doing
no.
that clarification? I think that's important. So
that would be in the introductory statement on the...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good. Okay, now I'd like to see if anyone wishes to make a motion. I'll do it if no one else is...
I can do a motion.
Okay.
I recommend that we adopt an updated IWMA employee handbook as presented, with the right to implement legally mandated changes as necessary, but subject to board approval for additional policy changes.
Thank you.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Mr. Enns and seconded by Mr. Guthrie. Roll call, please.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
And Ms. Marks?
Yes. Thank you. So I think that's unanimous. Okay, perfect. Okay, now we're going to go on to item number 11, resolution of the 2024 approval of the mid-year budget adjustment request on page 106. Mr. Cron, would you like to wade into this subject?
Certainly, and I'll try to be quick and brief as I can with the budget item. So staff presented a mid-year budget adjustment request in January 10 Board of Directors meeting for you to review and comment. Based on the feedback, the budget adjustment request has been finalized, reviewed by legal counsel, and is presented for adoption. The budget adjustment request was presented in response to the county rejoining the IWMA and the anticipated increase in expenses and revenue that the IWMA will incur with the addition of the county into the JPA. So briefly, the key revenue items are a decrease in revenue from outside agencies, which is the county, increase in revenue from tipping fees and solid waste management fee, and the key expense items are labor costs associated with staffing increase, increased outreach in county areas for commercial education and outreach, and increase for the compost rebate program. That is a program that we're going to take on to make sure we meet our procurement requirements, and increases in minor equipment that are going to need to facilitate our goals. One of the things about the revenue and expense summary is that the county, being that they are operating generally under a low population waiver, we aren't so focused on SB 1383 as we are on some of the other items, AB 1826 and AB 3041. The bottom line is that with this, we anticipate that we're going to see a net change in our net position of a positive $78,000. So the fiscal impact on this is a revenue increase for the fiscal year 23-24 will be about $294,000. The projected expense will be about $215,000, once again resulting in that change of that net increase and our change in position. We anticipate, with the county coming back, having some opportunity to take a look at these revenues and take a look at the expenses, that once again, when we get into our budget for the 24-25 fiscal year, that we should be able to, before we actually undergo a fee study, we should be able to once again lower our solid waste management fee to reflect. And so with that, we'd like to ask the board to approve the resolution 240201, approval of the mid-year budget adjustment request.
Thank you. Okay, now a bunch of questions. Anyone have any questions at this point? Yes, Mr. Rabeau.
Peter, the net result, expected result, $78,000. This is only for the five-month period remaining from the county's joining February 1st through June 30th.
Correct.
So, you know, if you annualize that, it would be like $160,000, $170,000 or something. Is that realistic, or will it be, do you expect that to be net revenue gain from the county rejoining to be more or less than that when looking at a full-year basis?
Yeah, so the full-year basis, we're looking at about $147,000 in the net change with just the county returning. I think it's gonna be in that $150,000 range, because you're only talking about 5 months. We don't know for sure, because we've got the challenge that we're faced with is our anticipation of revenues is challenging from the perspective that the solid waste management fee is based upon revenues collected by the solid waste haulers. They've just concluded at January 1 collecting retroactive payments. So we anticipate our fees will drop somewhat, but not significantly, because they'll also have CPI, and our revenues, our expenses don't track with the hauler revenues. It's a little bit complicated. I think it'll be easier to explain come March when we have our first, our second quarter close.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question. You were talking about, I know we're having a REIT study coming up, mm-hmm. but you were talking about possibly being able to drop the rate from the 4.4%. Can you give us like a ballpark figure of like?
Wow, you put me on a spot here.
I'm
comfortable doing this. Initially, looking at it and taking a look at the evaluation, I think 4% is realistic even before we do a fee study, and that still gives us a lot of room to move. We may even be a little bit below that. It'll be easier to take a look at once we close our second quarter and get close to closing our third quarter in this process, because I think once we start seeing the revenues from this first quarter coming in from our solid waste management fee, we'll have a pretty strong understanding of where we stand.
I think that's basically was the same question as mine. Only mine was asking about dollars, and Jan was asking about bottom line percentage rate imposed on our customers. So I think we just have to wait till you can get us.
I'm always interested in trying to lower rates to the average person if possible, and it's usually not possible. So this is very good news.
I pretty strongly believe that we'll be able to lower it.
Okay. And then I had another question about that $78,800. Where does that go? I mean, does it just go into our reserves, or what do you do with that?
It goes into our reserves.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions right now? Okay. Any deliberation? Mr. Paulding?
Oh, I was going to second your motion to just lower the rates.
All right. I'll move approval. I'll move approval.
Hopeful but preemptive.
A preemptive motion. I will move approval of the staff recommendation on item number 11, resolution 2024, approval of the mid-year budget adjustment request.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Ms. Marks.
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, and with that, we have our next board of directors meeting is on March 13th. The executive committee meeting is March 1st. And then we're skipping April board meeting. And then we'll reconvene back in May.
When will the budget ad hoc meeting be?
The ad hoc meeting will be we'll form the committee on the March meeting, and then we'll meet shortly after that. And then we'll start discussion, deliberation on how we want to see the budget go forward.
Are you talking about the budget ad hoc?
Yes.
So who's on it? Mr. Barbeau, who else?
We haven't formed it quite yet, but we're going to form that in March.
Okay, we haven't formed it yet.
Right, but I'm assuming Mr. Porbo will join us.
We formed it last year, but because it's ad hoc, we got to reform it every year.
All right. Okay. So I just wanted to, it's not on the agenda, but just open up to any board comments or general questions at all. Mr. Hammond?
I was just going to welcome the county back. Seeing Jimmy on the board is very important to me. And again, welcome to IWMA, and sorry we left. It's all behind us. We're moving forward at this point.
Well, I think we owe you the apology. Through the chair, I'll respond to that and just say it's a pleasure to be working with you all. And I know there was a lot of hard work done to go through everything that it took to amend the JPA. And I'm glad that we're all together. I think regionalism is important, and this organization is important in what we do. And it's my pleasure to be serving with you all.
Thank you.
And I would add, we will try to make it as uneventful for you as possible.
Yes, yeah, so we have a new slogan in the IWMA, which is boring is good. You know, so when it comes to solid waste, we just want to do what we can to deal with it according to state law. So with that, I'll thank you very much, and this meeting is adjourned. And we are out of